Oh, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Tuesday on B&E. Grab an umbrella. It's going to be a rainy one for sure as you get up and out. And we get you up and out on this 19th of January. Lot to do. Big conversations. NFL's Final Four Conference Championships coming up on Sunday. Get the very, very latest on Patrick Mahomes. He is indeed in the NFL's concussion protocol as the Chiefs will host the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. How about the Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the NFC matchup with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, Packers and Bucks? We'll start to really drill down on those games here on a Tuesday. There's plenty of basketball, big and much anticipated. Big 12 matchup last night in Waco, Baylor and Kansas. All Bears. We will talk about it and hear from Bill Self after the game. Bill Self conceding that there's quite a gap between Baylor, Gonzaga, and maybe the rest of college basketball. We'll dive into that debate. Longhorns going to have an unplanned off week now, looks like, for Shaka Smart. Not going to play a game this week because of COVID issues. We'll get to the very latest there. NFL making big news on the NFL scouting combine. We got a lot to do today and a bombshell from the SEC and the Tennessee football program to get to. It's going to be a busy one. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now. Appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm as you get up and out on this Tuesday morning. As I say, grab an umbrella today. Rain's going to start about 9 o'clock this morning and get heavier as the day goes on. Pretty much a washout as far as the weather goes for this Tuesday. But we do appreciate you being there. However you find us, we are live, local, and digital. Find us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and the show of the people and all the shows here on the Horn. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbold, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job that you do. It is appreciated. And like he said, it will rain today, likely tomorrow, and maybe stop on Friday. But there's some 30% chances, which to me are always hit or miss when they get into the 30 percentile. When they're in the 50 and 60, and today's like 75% chance that it's going to rain today. So we'll get rain. But, boy, some of the weather during the course of this rain, it's warm. Friday's supposed to be 75 degrees on Friday. So it'll start to warm up a little bit. And I don't know if winter's gone by. I know we're going to have, of course, some wintery deal before it's all said and done. But looks like when the rain is done, we'll get into some really nice weather, 65, 70 degrees. So
yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the rain. Well, we always need the rain here. So
yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it.
And, for sure.
During the week, as long as we get to the weekend and we can enjoy some sunshine, but that may not even be the case this week. But, wash out today for sure, and then good chance of rain the rest of the week. And it will cool down. 64 already here in our Horn headquarters, but that'll drop into the 50s into the late afternoon today. So a busy morning. We'll get into all the stories I alluded to and teased, but also, there's a word out of Houston, Buck, that maybe Eric Bieniemy is emerging as a real contender for the Texans head coaching job. I know you said avoid like the plague if you're Eric Bieniemy,
yes.
But we will get to the very latest on that. A lot of scuttle that maybe the interview that he had yesterday with new Texans GM Nick Caserio went well, and then maybe Eric Bieniemy could be in the mix. So we'll get you details there from Houston. Get the latest on the Longhorn situation. I did find an interesting new name that has popped up for the Longhorn defensive coordinator position, which we will dive into, and it's going to be a busy Tuesday as usual as we get you going here. Let's fire it up with the headlines, trending topics as you get up and out on this Tuesday morning. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK bringing you the trending topics. And, they start with college hoops. And, an eagerly anticipated Big 12 battle last night in Waco. Top 10 battle, second-ranked Baylor, ninth-ranked Kansas. And, it turned into a rout as the junior guard, Jared Butler, fired in a season-high 30, dished out 8 assists as the Bears roll past the Jayhawks 77-69. Wasn't that close. Second-ranked Bears improved to 13-0 now. They've won all 13 by at least 8 points. After the game, the very impressed Bill Self conceded that having played Gonzaga and Baylor now, he says there's a pretty large gap in college basketball between those two and the rest.
Well, I would be shocked if there's a third that fits into that category. We saw Gonzaga actually run it right down our throat right from the beginning. We saw Baylor do the same thing tonight. So the games were actually pretty similar. Baylor, I think, had us down 14 or 16 or something, and Gonzaga had us down the same thing. And I don't know which one I'd say better. They're both terrific.
Well, I would...
All right, there's Bill Self afterwards. Now, fifth-ranked Longhorns also put a good beating on Kansas earlier this year. They'd like to be considered in that conversation, but Shaka Smart's Horns now going to enjoy an unplanned off week. Not going to play this week at all. Their second scheduled contest this week has been postponed. Told you yesterday about the game with Iowa State on Wednesday, being not being able to play because of situations with COVID and at the Iowa State program. Yesterday came word from TCU that their head coach, Jamie Dixon, is going to be self-isolating, along with a number of players. They will not be able to play Saturday evening's game against the Longhorns. Texas now has three games to make up in Big 12 play: Baylor, Iowa State, and TCU. Conference has left the final week of the regular season open to make up those games. Bombshell from college football, SEC yesterday. Tennessee announced that they have fired their head football coach, Jeremy Pruitt, after an internal investigation into the football program. Compliance office uncovered significant numbers of serious NCAA rules violations. Two assistant coaches were also fired for cause. Pruitt's attorney, meanwhile, fired back and responded with a statement saying the decision to fire Pruitt was orchestrated, not based in fact, and really was based in financial convenience, he wrote. Volunteers, meanwhile, went 3-7 in 2020, 16-19 in Pruitt's three seasons. Tennessee athletic director Phil Fulmer will also be stepping down. NFL sent word to all 32 teams yesterday that the 2021 NFL scouting combine has been significantly altered due to concerns for COVID-19. They will not have centralized in-person workouts or allow for in-person medical evaluations of prospects, which means essentially there is no combine in 2021. Combine has been held since for the last week of February every year since 1987. Instead, workouts will happen at individual pro days on campuses. League will use a combination of in-person and virtual events for medical assessments of players. Speaking of top prospects, Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields made it official yesterday, announcing that he indeed will enter the 2021 NFL draft, foregoing his senior season in Columbus. Fields, along with Clemson's Trevor Lawrence and BYU's Zach Wilson, considered the top quarterback prospects in the draft class of 2021. NBA last night, Houston Rockets get beat by Chicago last night. It was the debut of the newest Houston Rocket. Victor Oladipo scored 32 points, but not enough. Bulls beat the Rockets. Spurs did get a win last night. They beat up on Portland 125-104.
It's time to stop dealing with the hassles of contacts and glasses. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK is now offering all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Call 512-596-2020 to schedule your free consultation today. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing.
All right, Mr. Well, Godbold, what do you think, man?
Hey, Victor Oladipo looked good last night.
He did.
That's pretty good. He's starting to look like he's starting to round in the shape. You know, that's a good thing. It really, really is for them. And I'll tell you, I don't think that's a bad deal. I know Zay, he looked like he was still a little, you know, he's still not as quick. But I don't know, 32 looked pretty good.
Yeah, 32, 5, and 9 assists as well for Victor Oladipo. I mean, it was better production you were getting from James Harden. And, of course, Oladipo comes in on essentially 1 year left on his contract. It's seen as an expiring deal, so it might be not long-lived in Houston. But, yeah, he was second pick in the draft when he came out of college. He's a talented player. And you know, after the game, the Rockets head coach Steve Silas said, you know, we haven't even been able to get together and have a practice yet with all the new guys we have. So the defense is going to struggle in that game. But, gosh, after they scored 16 points in the first quarter, Rockets reeled off 36-34-34, but still lost to Chicago.
I mean, they're not going anywhere, but, boy, he's a nice piece for the remainder of the year. I don't think they're going to pay him a huge money. It all depends. It all depends on how they, you know, as you said, when the coach gets together with everybody and if they seem to gel pretty well, maybe he will be the big money guy. Maybe that's the kind of guy they need. I know they don't need James Harden. Brooklyn loves him now that he's there with Kevin Durant. But
well, guess what? He's actually playing hard now. What do you know? James Harden's showing up and playing ball again.
Can't wait till they throw Kyrie into the mix and how that is going to
– what a suit that is.
That's not going to gel. Yeah, that's going to be a mess.
And by the way, and I tweeted this yesterday, and I know Zay and Adam Wagner talked about it on Sunday, there is a photo circulating. Is it possible that James Harden, while in Houston, as part of his ridiculous antics trying to get traded, was wearing a fat suit? A fat suit. Like, I'm not saying this is a joke. This is not tongue-in-cheek, because there are pictures side-by-side that I tweeted from my Twitter account yesterday of James Harden in the closing days, you know, warming up in Houston, and then his first game in Brooklyn, and he mysteriously shed about 40 pounds, it appears. Like, it's a totally different person. Like, was he literally under his warm-ups wearing some type of fat suit to, it's one of those things I'll never understand. But now all of a sudden, James Harden in Brooklyn lean and mean. Or Isaiah Collier, is that some old photo that they were able to find of him shooting on the floor of the Brooklyn gym?
No, I think that's legit. And
the
crazy thing is that
fat suit?
Yeah, there's been a lot of photoshopping going on, but I don't know. It's kind of like a quarterback vest that quarterbacks wear to protect their ribs. Mm-hmm. That's what
it's a weight losing deal.
Yeah,
that he's been wearing.
I feel like he finessed the Rockets with that type of, you know, fit to show that, oh yeah, this guy really doesn't care.
Well, if the guy's wearing a fat suit, his teammates are going to squeal on him. They're going to say, I mean, they see a change unless he's got his own private dressing room. But I mean, if he puts on a suit in front of his deal, they're going to say, dude, this is bull wearing that. Now, and people do wear those sweat things underneath.
Yeah,
when you play, and where you're trying to lose a little weight when you're chubby. So, I mean, he could have done that, and nobody said anything. But he's not going to put a fat dude suit on without his teammates squealing. They're just going to tell.
Well, and word out yesterday, not surprising that you know, as the big trade had to be done shortly before the trade went down, that a group of teammates, along with Steve Silas, the head coach, confronted Harden because he just wasn't giving effort. I mean, he was jaking it on the field, right, on the court. They could see that there. If he is indeed wearing some type of fat suit to look out of shape, it's typical NBA drama that is just, stomach turning. But at the same time, it worked. He got what he wanted. Yeah, but the reports are that DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall and some other prominent, Eric Gordon, you know, really got in his kitchen, and apparently not new. Russell Westbrook used to do it to him a lot last year about the commitment that he had to the team and practice and the important things of winning. But either way, James Harden is typical in the NBA, got where he wanted. He got to Brooklyn, and he's had back-to-back great games to start his career in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant, I mean, that's a formidable force. And, yeah, when they drop Kyrie Irving back into that, we'll see where that goes. I mean, whether you like that or not, Buck, I mean, and teams, that's going to be a hard team to root for a lot of people. Based on Harden and what we're seeing from Kyrie Irving right now, people do generally like Kevin Durant, but he's caught up in that. That's a force. I mean, that's a team to be reckoned with when three of the five players on the floor are top 15 players. That they are certainly a contender in there with Milwaukee and the Heat and the other teams in the Heat, Boston. That's a tough out to beat those guys, you know, four times in a 7-game series come playoff time. But we're only in January.
They are right now. But like I said, when the chemistry gets together. I mean, talking about eating a team within, that's what'll happen
likely.
With Kyrie. It'll just get ugly, and then they'll all dislike each other. That just won't work. I mean, Durant and Harden have played together before, so they know each other. So it's the Kyrie deal that will throw, just that wrench into the works, and it'll happen. I mean, that's just the way he is.
Hey, we'll get into all the college football news. The bombshell from Tennessee is, did Jeremy Pruitt cheat, or did he get wronged by Tennessee, who didn't want to pay his buyout? We'll get into all that, plus the latest for Steve Sarkisian, Houston Texans looking for a football coach. But of more local prominence on the college basketball hardwood, Buck, how about Baylor last night thumping Kansas? And then I played the sound in the headlines. Isaiah Collier cut that doubt that Bill Self, who has now seen Gonzaga and Baylor up front and up close, saying, hey, there's a pretty wide canyon between those two and the rest of college basketball. Gonzaga is the consensus number one. Baylor's right there. Those two, Baylor and Gonzaga, were supposed to play back in December in a regular season matchup in a tournament game, but it got postponed because of COVID. But, yeah, that Baylor team really, really good. And it makes you wonder where Bill Self would see Texas in the mix, because Texas laid one on Kansas pretty good at Fog Allen Fieldhouse earlier this year. Right at the beginning.
Yeah, he didn't want to talk about that 25-point ass-whipping in his own gym.
Yeah.
He's kind of keeping that out. He doesn't want to say anything about that because he's not quite sure, but we'll see when they get back here. We'll see if he adds them to the list of really, really good teams in the country this year.
Yeah, and I did hear some of what Bill Self said. He wasn't trying to be disparaging anybody else. He was saying, look.
No, he wasn't.
Because he felt like in the game last night they played really good. And he came into that press conference saying, look, let me be honest, guys. I thought we played really well tonight, especially in the second half. And if you watch that game, to start the second half, Baylor made a run at Kansas made a run at Baylor, got it down to 5 at 56-51. And you're thinking, okay, Jayhawks are going to make this a game. Typical Bill Self, making some adjustments on Scott Drew. And that's when, you know, Baylor just hits a different gear. And Jared Butler, the guard, who's just phenomenal, the junior. I mean, that's an NBA player playing right now with these college guys. And he just took over. And all of a sudden, next thing you look up, they're up 16 points and the game was over. And I think that's what Bill Self was alluding to, that, you know, that those two are just we had the debate earlier in the week about Fran Fraschilla's contention that, Gonzaga has three AP first-team All-Americans in their starting five, which – Well, that's three of the five. We just talked about Brooklyn. That's pretty good. And then you watch the backcourt of Baylor, the depth of Baylor, and those two are there. And obviously Texas, the fifth-ranked team in the country with only two losses. Their two losses to Villanova and to Texas Tech last week. You know, Texas Tech hasn't seen Baylor yet. They had that game that they were supposed to play in December postponed, so we haven't seen that matchup yet. We'll get it at some point. And that's the concerning part for Texas right now, Buck. They now have three games that they have to try to make up at some point. And you just wonder, I know the Big 12 has left the last week open for games, but that's just a week. And by the way, the three games that Texas has been had postponed are all road games. So you could get to a scenario at the end of the year where Texas has to go three straight games on the road to play Baylor, Iowa State, and TCU to get to the finish line. That's concerning, and you wonder if the Big 12 makes some schedule adjustments here now that they're seeing how many games are indeed being postponed because of COVID issues.
Yeah, you got to play, try your best to get your league games in. I mean, you have to.
Yeah,
and it's you may run out of time, and it's once again, it's not through any fault of yours. It's just it's going to happen. As I said, the season will probably get to me. Looks like it's going to get cut short a bunch of games, but they're going to get as many as they can.
Yeah,
for
they've,
sure.
Yeah, they've you know they, can the Big 12 tournament happen? I mean, that's planned, but they're. You know, who knows? And then, of course, March Madness is a go, at least from the NCAA side. They're going to play the entire thing in and around, you know, Indianapolis to house everybody almost in a bubble scenario for all 64 teams or 68 teams that will be headed there. But, you know, if you're Texas and you're looking at this schedule, you're thinking, man, we got a week off now all of a sudden, but we may get to the end of the year and have to play four games in a short amount of time and most of them on the road. Which that's not opportune, but is what it is. It's 2021. It's COVID. It's what we're all dealing with, or they're all dealing with in college basketball. So the hoops out there. Baylor, pretty impressive last night in Waco for Scott Drew, and we'll get to the NBA stuff as well. But that is, you know, Longhorns. All of a sudden, what do you do if you're Shaka Smart, Buck, in the coaching? You got a week off. I mean, you just have to. You got to keep your guys sharp.
Practice.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find the positive in it. And by the way, the two games they were going to play this week with Iowa State and TCU, highly winnable. I mean, these were games that you were looking forward to getting better in. Those are two of the bottom teams in the Big 12, and you know that you could see that as an opportunity come if you have to play those at the end of the year outside of the Baylor game. You feel good about them, but that's the third for Texas. So the next time we'll see the Longhorns on the basketball floor won't be until Oklahoma. They play Oklahoma on a Tuesday night in. At the Irwin Center, Tuesday the 26th, though a week from today, is the next time we'll see Texas play basketball. Hopefully, cross your fingers. And then after that, and this is interesting for me, and I say, could the Big 12 alter their schedule? And I actually asked Craig Way this yesterday, just trying to pick his brain, because like, you got to know what the Big 12 office, they're now seeing these postponements mount and are trying to come up with a contingency. So the weekend of January 30th, that Saturday of the Super Bowl off week, the SEC and the Big 12 are playing an SEC-Big 12 showdown, you know, intra-conference thing. And Texas is scheduled to play in Lexington, Kentucky that day. That's a night game. It's Texas and Kentucky, Longhorn, the trip to Rupp Arena. But you kind of wonder if the SEC and the Big 12 look at that, or Big 12 for sure, and say, look, we may have to use that weekend to make up a game here. We may have to play a conference game. Sorry, SEC. But, you know, as Craig reminded me, there are TV contracts and TV deals that are already in place, and that will probably win the day.
Yeah, but I think we heard that in football, too, when, you know, about TV contracts. Those things can be broken.
Yeah.
If you have to get these games in. I mean, that's – we've seen – when we talk about money and TV and everything else, it's what you have to get in and how important it is to get those league games in, I believe.
That's correct. And that's where, I mean, the Big 12 could – that's why you see get ahead of this. That's still a couple of weeks away. I'm sure ESPN's gonna showcase that Kentucky-Texas game. Kentucky's not having a great season, though. You could say, look, hey, ESPN, we're giving you Baylor-Texas on that Saturday night because Texas has to play the Baylor game in Waco. We'll give you
What's
Baylor.
Kentucky, like two wins?
Yeah, they're not
two
very.
And six
this
or something?
Is John Calipari's worst year with the Wildcats. I mean, the Big 12 and Texas, and because you could make that the. Because right now that's number two versus five. I mean, that's a pretty sexy matchup for a Saturday night in Waco. I'm sure ESPN would say, yeah, we'd like that Kentucky game. Yeah, we'll take Baylor-Texas. We'll take that game.
Sure.
And it could be something where the Big 12 has to be proactive on this, realizing that, you know, the week at the end of the regular season may not be enough. If you got teams that have to play three and four games, you got to find a weekend and find a spot. And you may have to go to coaches and say, look, guys, we're going to have to play three games in a week at this point to make up some of these. But that's where we are as we get to just past mid-January now. But keep an eye on that. That SEC Big 12 Challenge is January 30th as they're scheduled to play 10 games that day, 10 Big 12 opponents against 10 SEC opponents. We'll see. We'll follow that.
Plus, but, Baylor and anybody right now is a good, you know, for TV. People need to see more of Baylor.
According to Bill Self, it's Baylor and Gonzaga. Go ahead and play the championship game now. Go ahead and play.
We don't even see enough of Gonzaga. We hardly ever see them anyway, even when they're at their best. So if we get a chance to get Baylor on TV, that's the one you want to do.
All right, so there was where we sit and in college basketball. We'll get into the football coming up. There's a, you know, I had to dig a little bit this morning, Buck, to find a new name on the Texas defensive coordinator search because the name, the trail's gone pretty dark or quiet at this point. You know, immediately yesterday, the name Jeremy Pruitt came forward, and you're thinking, well, you can't go hire a defensive, because people have said that Nick Saban has said that Jeremy Pruitt, who was the coach at Tennessee for three seasons, was the best defensive coordinator, felt like he had when he brought him in from Florida State, and they won a national title, but they all win national titles with Nick Saban at some point, but didn't cut it as a head coach at Tennessee. Well, he was fired yesterday for cause. His attorney then fired off a scathing response in which he alleged that this is all about money and they just don't want to pay the freight on buyouts for their coaching staff during a pandemic, and so they're trying to pin something on Jeremy Pruitt that's not true, and they'll prove that it's wrong. But, you know, obviously, Buck, if you're Texas and you're Steve Sarkisian, you can't, even if Jeremy Pruitt's the best guy available, you can't hire a coach that's currently holding a show cause letter from his own compliance office at Tennessee. You couldn't go anywhere near him until that's proven otherwise.
No, I mean, even if it's proven otherwise, that becomes kind of toxic. You kind of stay away from that deal because he's got assistant coaches that are involved in this too. I mean, they've already let a couple of their assistant coaches go. And so the guy who's going to get blamed is the head coach. I mean, that's just the way that goes. They're not going to blame the assistant coach. They're going to say you didn't have any control over your assistants out doing this. So just find out what they did. I mean, well, who they paid, money they paid to kids.
Well, you can go back to they cited in their statement of firing and you know why they're relieving Jeremy Pruitt of his duties for cause, and they want to get out from under the buyout. And that's like $12 or $15 million that they owe him in his contract. They cited what it was, and you know how these compliance offices go, Buck. It's the head coach that has to sign the compliance letters. It's like to my full awareness, we're in compliance with all of these rules. And you know, the school did its own investigation. The compliance office did and uncovered, you know, these assistant coaches had done X, Y, and Z, and that Pruitt knew about it and Pruitt signed off on it, and that whole bit. So that's where it stands, but. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, did they set out in this investigation looking to find something because they wanted to move on this coach and move on but not pay the buyout?
Well, they also gave him, I mean, Coach Fulmer gave him an extension, this massive extension that goes like 2025 for, you know, when he got on a 6-game winning streak. I mean, it was like, what are you doing? I mean, these guys get these extensions when they win a couple games. It's just incredible, and the extensions go for years and big time money, and they're trying to get that money back. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, what the hell did we do here by giving this guy an extension?
Yeah, well, I remember his first season at Tennessee was his best season, right? I think they won 8 games that year and showed pretty significant improvement. And people were like, oh man, we got the right one. So you know, the AD jumps in and gives him the extension and gives him the pat on the back raise. And. And then they go 3-7 this year and lose by double digits in most all of the losses. And things were not trending in a good spot for Jeremy Pruitt. So now all of a sudden, as you said, uh-oh, how do we get out from under this buyout that we owe this guy? We're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, Texas just cut some checks and went to the rich guys. Paid this thing off.
Checks.
But it does. Look, I don't want to say if you dig into every college, you know, football program, you know, deeply enough, you're going to find some infractions, if you want to find infractions, because the rule book is so ridiculous. But yeah, I think if you go digging through your compliance office looking for something to fire the guy for, you probably can find it. And that's where Jeremy Pruitt's going to fight like hell through his attorney. Not just for the money, but for the reputation that they think is being besmirched on this side by Tennessee. So we'll watch that story, but don't get excited that Jeremy Pruitt all of a sudden could be the new DC at Texas. I don't think that's a possibility at this point. I don't think Texas can go near him. We'll get the other names. There is a new name that's in the hopper, at least coming from the Great Northwest. We'll get you details on that for Texas and their defensive coordinator spot. The NFL, the Texans busy yesterday. and interviewing four different coaching candidates for their job, including Kansas City Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy. And word out of Houston late yesterday, maybe went really well, and there could be further dialogue. Get you details on that. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got your BNE fact of the day. It's what's going to be a wet and rainy Tuesday. Glad you're with us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Get funky. Funky. It's Bucky and Aaron.
Funky. Funky. Everybody clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap your hands. All right, now, we're going to do the basic step. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time.
All right, Buck, it's going to be fun on a Tuesday. I have uncovered or stumbled across a new survey, 100 most requested wedding reception songs of all time.
One hop this time.
This is number six on the list, The Cha-Cha Slide by DJ Casper.
Ooh.
You'd be out there back in the day, right?
Oh, there would be no doubt about it. I would be awful, but I would certainly be out there trying.
There's nothing more fun than, now you don't drink any longer, but... you know, the couple of soda pops and the wedding reception dancing. Oh, it's good. So we'll have that. It's number six on the top 10. So we'll run through some of those this morning all the way to number one. The 100 most requested wedding songs of all time. I've got the top 10, but I could give you the 90 other ones if you wanted. I don't, they probably could have stopped at 10 or 12. I don't know if they have to do 100.
Sure.
But they went 100. But that's where we are. It's fun. It's going to be a rainy Tuesday, so we'll have some fun with that. We'll also have some fun with some other top stories of the day as we talk little Texas basketball, having another game postponed. Baylor rolling past Kansas last night in Big 12 hoops, that big Monday matchup. That was all Bears. We'll get into the NFL. Buck sending word that there will be no NFL scouting combine this year. You and I have attended that on a couple of occasions, and it's a really great event. But for the first time since 1987, there will not be a scouting combine there. You know, then that and that's an issue. So we'll get to it. But real quick, I mentioned that there's a new name on the Texas defensive coordinator front, and again, you scour the insiders and the sources. And this actually came from the Northwest. This was not one that originally was uncovered by, a Texas-centric source. This came from Washington, University of Washington, and up in that area. And they're reporting that, Steve Sarkisian has maybe made contact with Washington Huskies defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski about a potential spot as DC at Texas. Now, again, that's from the Washington side of it. Kwiatkowski was a player at Boston at Boise State. He then played and then coached under Chris Peterson at Boise State and then made the move to Washington when they moved to Washington. Pete Kwiatkowski is a 55-year-old defensive coordinator. Put that name on your hopper, Buck. And it doesn't indicate that, Chris Del Conte and Steve Sarkisian are not going to make a quick decision on this. They're scouring the country to find the best fit, as Steve Sarkisian called it, the puzzle of your defensive staff. And the fact that they've already got three defensive, members of the staff, picked with Bo Davis and Blake Gideon and Terry Joseph from Notre Dame, they're looking for the guy that can coordinate the defense to the highest level, and does seem like no stone unturned at this point.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I still believe they're waiting for an NFL guy, and they're going to wait it out, and they're going to find the best they can find. Because we're like, when you start hiring defensive back coaches and defensive line coaches, you're telling the defensive coordinator, if you have one other, you may only be able to bring that one other, but you can't bring a bunch of guys because we already have them. We already have our guys. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out. And, right now, for Sark, I guess he's feeling a little bit better because Nick Saban has hired Doug Marrone as his offensive line coach.
Yeah.
And Doug Marrone is a great offensive line coach. I don't know if you remember, but Doug Marrone coached for Tom Coughlin as the offensive line coach. So this guy knows how to coach offensive line. And, man, well, I'm kind of surprised he lasted that long at Jacksonville. But remember, he was with
– Well, look, I mean –
with Coughlin, but he's a great one. So
he's tremendous. He was the coach of the Buffalo Bills. I mean, when the new ownership came in, he rolled the dice and took the Doug Marrone, of course, a longtime offensive line coach and head coach of the Bills, then Jaguars. And, I think it's fair to say while he was the coach of the Jags, they were a win away from the Super Bowl, and then they pretty much stripped the roster at that point to rebuild, and that's where they are now hiring Urban Meyer. But, yeah, that's kind of how Alabama rolls. Right? Texas fans are excited about – you know, hiring these coaches and should be. I think Steve Sarkisian's putting together a fine staff. But, you know, if you're Nick Saban and you rebound with Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone on your offensive staff, two NFL head coaches, coaching, you know, the coordinating it and positions, you know, Doug Marrone coming in to coach the O-line. And keep in mind, there is this, you knew, if you're a Texans fan, you knew this with Bill O'Brien. He and Doug Marrone are close. He and Doug Marrone are good friends. The wives are really good friends. So this seems to me to be like, hey, Bill O'Brien saying, hey, Doug, let's get out of this NFL thing for a while. Let's go back to coaching ball and go work for Nick Saban and coach some football together. And it does look like they're going to land on that Alabama staff.
Yeah, so that'll make Sark feel a little bit better. Okay,
yeah.
Who else does he have over there that we can get now? Now that he's starting to fill him up again. So,
and maybe Pete Golding is the guy.
Going to do that. Yeah, it could be. I mean, I just think Sark has that kind of respect for Nick Saban. Not to just take everybody from him, but just to kind of wait it out. And maybe now this is the next step in it. Maybe Goldie is that guy now. You know what
on
I'm saying?
Defensive
maybe
side.
He might be. Sure. You just don't. It's just the way college coaches go. I mean, it's when you're a great coach, people want your guys. But then you have to go higher. But people still have enough respect for you that they're not going to take them all. You know what I mean? They won't. They'll wait it out a little bit. And I think Sark is like that with Nick Saban. So, but if you can get them all, go get them.
Go get them. Well, I mean, look. Well, for Nick Saban, he is having to replace his entire offensive staff because Sark left to come to Texas and took two Jeff Banks at tight ends and offensive line coach Kyle Flood, and then the running backs coach became the head coach of Marshall, and he took the wide receivers coach Holman Wiggins with him. So indeed, it's a full offensive staff rebuild for Nick Saban. Defensive staff so far hadn't been touched, and. You know, that's kind of the question. Is Pete Golding, the defense coordinator at Alabama, the guy that Steve Sarkisian is eyeing? We've also heard the name, the defense coordinator at Mississippi State is a name that people are looking at. And the new one is the Washington, D.C., Pete Kwiatkowski, former Boise State player. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. And it does feel like, and as you said all along, Buck, they've been waiting on an NFL guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is so interesting because you've got guys like you've got head coaches on your staff, like for Nick Saban, and a guy like Charlie Strong could end up being his defensive whatever if this were to happen. You know, Charlie's been around there for a year or two now.
Well, no, Charlie is officially going.
Saban,
Charlie is officially going with.
Is he?
Yeah, Charlie is going to land with Urban Meyer and Chris Ash.
NFL, right?
And
okay,
with the Jacksonville
that's right.
Jaguars. Yeah, that's actually happening. Jackson and I'll give this. Urban Meyer put out a statement over the weekend and had some comments. He openly admitted he wasn't going to touch Ryan Day's staff at Ohio State. There were some guys that he wanted to approach, and we had that debate through December when Urban Meyer's name was out there for Texas, and that maybe he was going to go after. He wanted to wait and see on some of these Ohio State coaches, and of course the Buckeyes played all the way to the national title game. But when he began to assemble his staff at Jacksonville, he said, you know what, I'm not going to – I have too much respect for Ryan Day and that staff and where they are. I'll build my own staff over here and get some great coaches and leave that staff intact. Because many of those coaches that Ryan Day is now coaching at Ohio State, he brought from Florida. I mean, those are guys that were his guys originally that have formed one of the better coaching staffs in college football at Ohio State. But none of those guys are going to join him. Outside of, you know, I think one, you know, behind-the-scenes guy may go to Jacksonville. But I did see where, yes, Charlie Strong and Chris Ash are going to end up on that Jacksonville defensive staff. And Fernando Lovo, who was essentially the chief of staff for Tom Herman here, the right hand of the head coach, he also is going to be on Jacksonville staff with Urban Meyer in a background capacity. So, and one note on Jacksonville while we're talking Urban Meyer, Buck, is and Doug Marrone into Urban Meyer. Interesting that it's now out that and confirmed by Jimmy Johnson. You know, the comparison I made for Urban Meyer when he took the job was kind of Jimmy Johnson with the Cowboys because he has a chance to rebuild this Jacksonville team
right from
the ground up. It's funny that Fox employees both that Urban Meyer admitted that he leaned on Jimmy Johnson a lot when making this decision on should he do it? Well, what are the risks? What does it come with? Because I think Urban Meyer sees himself a lot like Jimmy Johnson. They both hate to lose. They're hard driving. They're all in and on everything. And you know, Jimmy Johnson did say that you know he's going to hate to lose at the beginning. He said it's going to be tough because you're as we said in his career in college football, Urban Meyer's lost 32 total games at all the stops. He could lose, you know, double-digit games year one. That's just the way the NFL goes when you're rebuilding a football team. And Jimmy Johnson did say, look, get ready to deal with that, but find the small victories. Find the good side, because the one thing Jimmy Johnson did say is, at least, because Jimmy got there and they were the worst roster in football, and he had to rebuild it, right? He had to go through a 1-15 season. He had to make the Herschel Walker trade, which led to the three Super Bowls for the Cowboys. Urban Meyer's walking into a spot that already has stripped it, right? The last couple of seasons, since what ended Doug Marrone, they've stripped it back, and they have the number one pick and all those draft picks we've talked
he's
about.
He's just got to rebuild it. That's what his deal is
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and he gets to really go to work and see if they can get this thing turned. And obviously, if Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick, you've got your franchise quarterback in place. Jimmy Johnson said, you know, we had to go through a couple tough years to get there. Those are already have been done for Jacksonville. So I don't think they'll be in Super Bowl contention that early. But by year three, if Urban Meyer hits on these draft picks and hits some key free agents, and Trevor Lawrence is as good as people think he can be, you absolutely can have the Jacksonville Jaguars in the conversation a couple years from now in the NFL, like we see with Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's interesting about Charlie to hear that. I thought maybe he would move around in the Nick Saban circle and end up being a head coach again somewhere. But you go with Urban Meyer, you could end up back as a head coach again.
Yeah, we'll see. Chris Ash.
It's just a crazy circle.
It is. Well, it's the coaching fraternity, and we're watching it happen right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we'll get into Eric Bieniemy's journey. The offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs had an interview with the Texans yesterday. We'll get you details on that now, whether it's internet fodder or for real. There might be a second interview on tap, because the first one went pretty well with Nick Caserio, the GM in Houston. Details on that to come. BNE fact of the day before the top of the hour. We'll keep you posted on this Texas situation. It's Tuesday. Lots of fun with the good wedding songs and getting some love on that already. We'll get to it. But first, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, yeah, that's always a good one at the wedding reception. That's number four on our list of top 100 most requested wedding songs all time. And our friend Jason on the text line said, "Hey, how appropriate, guys. The girlfriend turned fiance last summer and I are getting married this Saturday. We just sent the DJ a list of songs we want played and songs we don't want played." So he's going to be listening this morning to see if they could add a few or take some out. So there you go, Jason. That's good.
Awesome.
Timing perfect. Congratulations. The nuptials. Isaiah Collier's engaged. Isaiah, when are you getting hooked? Do we have a date, or are we just waiting on COVID?
Next year, around this time.
Okay. Oh, so you've got a year. Well, I'll give you this list, Zach, so you can have this list. Just know that these people are requesting these songs at your wedding, getting ready to get their groove on. That is Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, Crazy in Love. But Crazy in Love.
Number four?
Number four on the list.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get to number one at some point throughout the course of our morning. Speaking of number one, Baylor made their claim to be number one last night. They beat up on Kansas and College Hoops, routing the Jayhawks 77-69, Bears and Gonzaga. We'll hear from Bill Self again coming up in the headlines, talking about having played Gonzaga and Baylor. He sees a pretty wide gulf between those two teams and the rest of college basketball. Also following what's going on at Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt fired for cause. His lawyer has fired back saying, "Hey, come on, this is a witch hunt. They're just trying to get out from under." I like the way the legalese in the statement said it's not based on fact, but financial convenience.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
They paid him a lot of money for an extension. So,
well, and
they
owe
him that part.
They owe him almost $15 million, and they don't want to pay any of it.
No.
Which Jeremy Pruitt
said. Especially when you go for cause, that means you're trying to get out from under every bit of it.
Yeah. Which, and two assistant coaches who were at the center of the whole thing. So we shall see. Jeremy Pruitt out at Tennessee after a 3-7 campaign. I think they would have fired him if he was 8-2. I think they would have. Let me ask you this: if they were 8-2 this year, or 7-3 even, would they have launched an internal investigation within their compliance office? Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. No,
because cheating and winning is okay. Cheating and losing,
it's not okay.
Not okay. Not okay.
Nope.
Can't do that. Hey, hey, Buck, I mentioned the NFL scouting combine not going to happen. Finally, you know, we kind of debated how are they going to pull this off. 300 plus of the top prospects gathering in Indianapolis for, you know, the on-field drills and the behind-the-scenes medicals. League finally sent word to all 32 teams yesterday with a memo that, plan on no combine. They didn't say there won't be anything, but they said there'll be no on-field workouts and there'll be no medicals individually, which means there is no combine, because those are the two most important parts of it, the individual medicals. And You know, I read where our friend Dane Brugler at theathletic.com, who we'll talk to here between now and the Senior Bowl, and then the whatever, however this is going to play out, he said that he thinks, he wrote today in The Athletic that he thinks it's a benefit to the players that they're not going to be, he thinks that, the you know, because people talk about, well, how are you going to rank your players? How are you going to build your draft board? How are you going to get all this intel and info? You know, his argument was for the players, this will actually be good because there's going to be less info and they won't be, you know, meticulously picked apart by the doctors and looking for things.
Right.
And you know, the scouts and the teams are really just going to go on individual workouts at pro days and then within their facilities, and then they're going to go on, you know, the 3 or 4 years of tape. They're going to watch tape, and that's how they'll build their draft board, which probably, in his opinion, will lead to fewer errors potentially even. Then you'll just watch a ball. Can he play ball or can he, you know, all the stuff that you kind of over-obsess about that you nitpick, this could actually help. But either way,
well, they got
not
enough film. They got enough tape on people over the last couple of years. Like the key ones they know about. They've seen plenty of tape on them. They understand what they can't do and what they can't do. It's those guys that are in the fourth and fifth round that are those are the tough ones. Those are the tough decisions that you have to make. You know, the guys that make your team and make up the large majority of your football team and what they do. It's those, believe me, the first rounders aren't going to be hard to figure out who's what and how you place them and what they do. It's those, I would think it's the fourth and fifth.
That's right.
And whatever it is. They know about the other ones because they're used to it. They're used to making up football teams in the NFL out of those type of players. And I'm wondering how they still do the Senior Bowl. How is that going to be held?
That's in 2 weeks. You and know, they're just going to.
How is that going to work?
I don't know. I mean, it's. And I have reached out to Jim Nagy, who's the director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Sam Ellinger will be a part of that Senior Bowl for Texas. I saw where Devontae Smith, who won every award out there, Heisman Trophy winner, is going to be a part of the Senior Bowl out there running routes. And I think agents are going to advise this might be, if they are indeed going to play, it might be your best chance to, you know, either boost your stock a little bit because you're going good on good. There'll be practices. Some of the best seniors and juniors in all of college football playing in that Senior Bowl in Mobile. But I don't know what the protocols is, but we'll try to figure out. It's 2 weeks away
You're not going to be able to talk to the guys. You won't be able to talk to them personally, but you can be in a stadium and watch them work out. You can't get down on the field like you used to and really be close on the sidelines. And some of the coaches will come over and talk to you. It's just going to be it's just going to be like practices, but you're not going to be on the sideline for the practices. You'll be in the stands and, you know, 6 feet apart.
Yep.
You can still get your work done and watch those guys because, you know, to see them in person and the way they move is still a big deal. But you're not going to have night interviews and things like that. That's probably out of the question.
Yeah, it probably is. And, you know, you and I know, having been there on a couple of occasions in Indy, you talk to the teams, the most important part of the combine are the medicals, right? The ability to, because we've watched the tape, we really like this player, but we need to make sure he's solid. We check his knees, check his shoulders. You know, really, you have your, and that's the worst part for the players and the prospects, because they got to go to 32 different team doctors and get poked and prodded and all the stuff that goes on with that. That won't be allowed. And then this, the individual FaceTime. I mean, the teams.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, they really like getting to know a player and the after-hours conversations.
All virtual.
All virtual, yeah. Which, you know, that's where they take the teams always say we know which players we like by watching them play for 3 and 4 years in college and who our top guys are. And then we like to confirm that with the individual drills and then getting to know these guys a little bit. Or you could be turned off by a kid or a young player if you don't like his attitude or things we've seen in the past.
That's right.
On that. So, all right, so we will continue these conversations. Can we get to your B&E fact of the day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, thinking caps, Buck. Tom Brady headed to the NFC Championship game at 43 years old. Who was the last Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, or NHL player at 43 years or older to appear in the semifinals of their respective league? The last one to do it was Tom Brady's doing it this weekend. Who was the previous, the closest to now? We'll get to that answer on the other side. Put your thinking caps on the four major American sports. We'll have the answer. That'll be our B&E Fact of the Day.